Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope your Wednesday is going well. It's Wednesday, June 19th on EWTN. So much to talk about. We have the wonderful Dr. Alveda King, who is a pro-life speaker, author, international speaker, actually. She works, of course, in the area of civil rights, and she also handles minority outreach for our good friends at Priests for Life. And she's joining us at 15 minutes past the hour. She's asking for some of the candidates for president to apologize for calling pro-lifers racist. In particular, candidate Gillibrand, who has said such a statement recently. And ironically, or maybe not so ironically, this is from someone who claims that she's also Catholic and the church has it wrong on so many things. Well, gee, I guess I should have checked with her before going to Mass. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. We need to pray for them, but we also need to be very clear in terms of what the church and what our Lord teaches on these issues, the life issue, which is paramount and from which everything flows, because all these other issues don't matter if you're dead, quite frankly. All right. So Dr. Alveda is joining us. And what I think is extremely important here is to understand, and I just wrote about this in my latest OSV, our Sunday Visitor column, which is posted on my Facebook page at Facebook at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, where when they are calling pro-lifers names, what they're doing is another case of projection. And this is exactly what I explained in this article. Everything they accuse us of doing, they are doing in droves. Okay? They are calling us racist, which is one of the most vile things, obviously, you can call someone. But what is happening in the abortion movement, and what has happened since its beginning? Can we go all the way back to, thank you very much, Margaret Sanger and her, how do I want to say this, approach toward minorities and other people that she called the undesirables? She promoted eugenics, believed in it strongly, and actually worked with African-American pastors to try to get the message out about abortion and contraception. And then you look at the sheer numbers. Now over 18 million of African-American precious babies that have been murdered through Roe v. Wade, through abortion. And we're the ones who are being called racist? Excuse me. And why? Why are all or majority of, more specifically, the freestanding abortion facilities located in the inner cities of our country? Coincidence? I think not. We shall discuss this and more with Dr. Alveda King at about 15 minutes past the hour. We'll take your calls, give you the number right before the break. And then also we'll be chatting with Joan Lewis live from Rome and the Holy Father's catechesis, talking about how the Holy Spirit can heal scandal and division, especially within the church, and is working to do that right now. So much to talk about this morning on a Wednesday morning edition. And I want to remind the ladies out there that co-host of Morning Glory, Gloria Purvis, and I will be speaking in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at the end of July. And we're pretty close to selling out. So if you're down in that area, go to CatholicVineyard.com and look for the event. It's right there posted on the website. It is Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, and the founder is Kelly Walquist, leading the way for that big conference. Almost sold out, as I said, and so looking forward to working with Gloria again. She is a hoot and great speaker and a dynamic host, as you well know. I know many of you love her on Morning Glory, as do I. And so I'm looking forward to working with her in person again. We've worked together at the radio conferences at EW10 and just think she's terrific. And she's going to be one of the keynotes, along with yours truly and Kelly Walquist, at the Baton Rouge Wine Conference coming up on July. I think it's 27th is the date. But anyway, it's all on the website, CatholicVineyard.com. Speaking of which, the foundress, Kelly Walquist, has a big birthday today, but she told me last night I couldn't say what year it was. She said, I could say it's a jubilee year. So you figure it out. I'm sure you know how old or how young she is. So anyway, lots of good stuff going on. So never, ever, ever lose your positive attitude, right? Be happy. be joyful. Jesus first, other second, yourself last. Let's get into the news so we can have more time with the wonderful Dr. Alveda King on this Wednesday morning, June 19th. Again, you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. President Donald Trump launching his 2020 re-election campaign last night in Orlando, receiving big cheers for his pro-life message, saying Republicans believe that every life is a sacred gift from God, and he strongly went after Democrats for their extreme abortion positions, promising to put an end to late-term abortions.
Virtually every top Democrat also now supports taxpayer-funded abortion right up to the moment of birth, ripping babies straight from the mother's womb. Leading Democrats have even opposed measures to prevent the execution of children after birth. You saw that in Virginia. Republicans believe that every life is a sacred gift from God. That is why I have asked Congress to prohibit extreme late-term abortion.
The president also speaking of what the 2020 presidential election means for the entire country.
This election is not merely a verdict on the amazing progress we've made. It's a verdict on the un-American conduct of those who tried to undermine our great democracy.
Crowds were waiting for some 40 hours to get inside the 25,000 capacity Amway Center, and movie screens were even given outside for the overflow crowd, the president receiving, as you heard, big cheers for his pro-life message. As LifeNews.com reported yesterday, the president faces a crowded Democratic field of candidates who have pledged to support abortion on demand and to force taxpayers to pay for them. Many of the leading contenders also voted against a bill to protect newborns from infanticide. Pope Francis, and Joan Lewis will have more on this in a little bit, said Wednesday that the Holy Spirit unites and grows the Vatican, or the Church, despite human limitations, sins, and scandal. The Holy Spirit, he said, is a creator of communion, the artist of reconciliation. He builds a community of believers by harmonizing the unity of the body and the multiplicity of its members. Comments from the Holy Father during his general audience message today in St. Peter's Square. Catholic news agency going on to explain the Holy Spirit, he said, makes the church grow by helping it to go beyond human limits, sin, and any scandal. During the Wednesday catechesis to the Acts of the Apostles, account of the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Pope in his message reflecting also on how the Spirit transforms and strengthens us, and also strengthened 2,000 years ago, the first Pope, St. Peter. Father Thomas Rosica resigning as CEO of the Salt and Light Media Foundation 4 months after reports emerged that the priest had plagiarized sections of texts and lectures, op-eds, scholarly articles, and other writings. He also apologized for his acts of plagiarism, saying, "I ask forgiveness for errors in not properly acknowledging individuals and attributing sources in my writings." Rosica, the first reported by LifeSite News back in February to have plagiarized sections of text in a number of lectures and op-eds from a variety of writers, among them priests, theologians, journalists, and at least two cardinals. Brian Chook explains that suicide rates among teens are rising, especially among boys.
A report out of Harvard Medical School shows suicide rates among boys rose roughly 2.5% every year between 2007 and 2014. Between 2015 and 2017, the annual rise was more than 14%. The study also found that suicide rates among girls rose by more than 8% per year from 2010 and 2017. Overall, there's been a 30% increase in suicides in the United States from 2000 to 2016.
Boston Red Sox legend David Ortiz now in good condition. His wife saying that he continues to make progress in the intensive care unit at Massachusetts General. He was shot earlier this month at a bar in his home country of the Dominican Republic. A 19-year-old man facing charges accused of attacking TSA officers at Phoenix's Sky Harbor International Airport. Officials say it happened yesterday inside Terminal 4 as Tyrese Garner tried rushing, apparently, through a security checkpoint. One officer taken to the hospital, 4 others went to nearby urgent care clinics. Officials say the suspect arrested shortly thereafter and has now been charged with misdemeanor assault, criminal trespassing, and resisting arrest. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying there's no need, according to him, to pay anyone reparations for slavery.
I don't think reparations for something that happened 150 years ago for whom none of us currently living are responsible is a good idea.
At a press conference yesterday, the Kentucky Republican saying America has done much to make up for the original sin of slavery, including fighting the Civil War, passing civil rights legislation, and electing an African-American president. He went on to say no one alive now was responsible for slavery, a House subcommittee meeting today to talk about reparations. Ohio's governor visiting a farm in Perrysburg today to hear from farmers representing multiple counties in that state concerning the effects of heavy rainfall. Farmer Chris Schwartz says a team effort is indeed needed.
We've invited a bunch of farmers that from Northwest Ohio and Western Lake Erie Basin specifically that are really being drastically affected by the wet weather and delayed planning or lack of planning we've had up here.
Yesterday, the governor announcing that the state has received federal assistance for folks in 10 counties impacted by severe weather. An initial damage assessment earlier this month finding that nearly 1,000 homes were either destroyed or sustained significant damage. And finally, in our news segment at 12 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning, June 19th, Sue Guzman explains that some New Jersey boaters are never going to forget their day at sea on Monday.
Jeff Crilly was with a few people in a small boat off the Jersey shore when a giant shark swam up to them. What came next was a scene straight out of the movie Jaws.
We definitely were afraid of it coming into the boat more because it easily nosed its head up past the silver rub rail and it could have either pushed the boat down or, worse, jumped in.
They were about 30 miles southeast of the Manasquan Inlet when the animal came over to say hello. Crilly took video of the encounter and posted it to Facebook, and the clip is now going viral on social media. The animal, officials say, looks like a great white shark, estimated to be about 2,000 pounds.
It is a Wednesday morning. Hope you're doing well. 877-573-7825. Honored and blessed to have Dr. Elvita King, Minority Outreach Director for Priests for Life, noted author, speaker, evangelist, and pro-life warrior. She joins us up next, and she's about had it with these politicians who are calling pro-lifers racist, and now she's saying they need to apologize. 877-573-7825 on a Wednesday morning if you'd like to speak with Dr. King. 877-573-7825. You're listening to EWTN. Find us online at EWTN.com. We'll be right back.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Join me, Teresa Tomeo, and Father John Ricardo for fun fellowship in beautiful weather during our Good News Marriage Cruise. Former NFL star Matt Burke will also be there sailing the Caribbean as we explore how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. We're sailing January 26th to February 1st, so call 855-879-6932. That's 855-879-6932. Or visit AveMariaRadio.net for early registration discounts.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
And while leading voices in the Democratic Party advocate late-term abortion and even defend infanticide, I couldn't be more proud to serve alongside a president who stands without apology for the sanctity of human life.
Vice President Mike Pence last night at the reelection campaign kickoff in Orlando, Florida. Dr. Elvita King, our guest this morning, was there, and she's been speaking out a great deal and standing up against candidates who are claiming that, and other people who are claiming that pro-lifers, that their new line seems to be that we are racist. And this is really upsetting to her, given her amazing background in the pro-life and civil rights movement. She's a niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She's a noted author, speaker, evangelist, sister in the Lord, and head of minority outreach for Priests for Life. Elvita, always a blessing to speak with you. Good morning.
Wonderful to speak with you, Teresa, your listeners. And I guess you've got it all out on social media, too, so viewers and listeners. Okay.
Yeah, we've got people following us on Facebook this morning, live on Priests for Life Facebook page, so really appreciate that. What's so frustrating to me is that just the opposite is going on. They call us racist because we're pro-life, and yet it surely, and I'm not a psychologist, but it's clearly a case of major projection going on here. Wouldn't you agree, Doctor?
You've got Gillibrand, Hathaway, a lot of them. They're just very confused. They obviously don't know what racism means anyway, because to call pro-lifers a racist, you'd have to be calling me a racist, which is ridiculous. So the skin color fight is just in error in the first place. We're one human race, one blood, Acts 17:26, one human race. So just to bandy the word racist about to stir up emotions and to be terribly dishonest with it, I believe that's really unfortunate. So I did speak out and push back against those kind of ridiculous and foolish statements. You're absolutely right. They're in error with those comments.
So what is the way to respond to this effectively? Because when they put out statements like this, it's very damaging. Even if people are pro-life, but they hear this, they play on the emotion, and that's one of their tricks. And they play on emotion, and nobody wants to be associated with something as horrific as racism.
Well, statistics themselves will convict a decent human heart. But you need a little more. The Word of God, of course, is very strong, and you bring that in. However, when we point out the numbers, by sheer numbers, the statistics in New York, for example, when fewer African Americans are born than aborted, and Margaret Sanger came out of those regions up in the New York area, and she said colored people are like weeds that need to be exterminated. We don't want to get that word out, so let's get some of their people to keep them in line. So they did grants and awards and money and that type of thing, but intentionally wanting to control undesirable populations with African Americans being at the top. Did you see Bill Gates' wife also supports population control, gives a lot of money to those organizations that abort babies? But it's really people, it's skin color is part of it, but it's not only skin color. All the babies in the womb are the most vulnerable part of the human population. It's unkind, it's racist, it's discriminatory to not give representation and voice to that baby in the womb. A woman does have a right to choose what she does with her body. The baby's not her body. So we absolutely have to ask this question. Where's the lawyer for the baby? Right. How can the dream survive if we murder our children?
And also, where's the lawyer for the father? So many fathers we're hearing now, as you well know from your work and with us at Silent No More, when these men now are speaking up so clearly at the Supreme Court in the March of Life, talking about how they didn't have a say in the abortion of their
child. Where's the lawyer for the father? Either way, now the father who says, I don't want that baby, that's your problem, then he's in error as well. But what about the father who says, I want that baby, and he's told, you don't have any say in this, it's the woman's body. But, you know, part of those chromosomes, he is 23 from mom, 23 from dad. So he's represented fully in force. You may not be able to see his representation with the natural eye for the first 9 months, but he's there. So father has to come to the forefront and be represented or reminded. It depends on where his head is at the time. But the men really do have to come forth and speak. That's why I'm so glad over at Priests for Life you've got Father Frank Pavone, the men and the women working together to solve this issue.
Yeah, and out on the front lines every single day. And Elvita, let me ask you in terms of the message in the minority communities, not just the African-American community, but the Hispanic community, because of your position with minority outreach. Are we getting through? Are we breaking through in terms of helping people understand what's happening to the community? Now up to, I think the number, last number I saw, in terms of the number of African-American babies that have been killed since Roe v. Wade through abortion is over 18 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, almost a third of all the babies who've been aborted are black babies, and yet we are the smallest part of the population here in America, so there's obviously some targeting going on. We are getting through. First, we know when the commander-in-chief, President Trump, we have the ear of the president, the heart of the president, God has President Trump's attention when it comes to the unborn. We should be grateful for that. The vice president, a stalwart supporter with the president, so that's one indicator that we are making a difference, because this is the first time in the history of America that I know of that a president has been this strong on the life issue. Also, pregnancy care centers outnumber abortion mills now in America, and women are beginning to admit that they have suffered from abortion. Even the ones who say, shout my abortion, who say it's the best thing that ever happened, you can read a little more closely what they're saying, and you see their conflicts. And then we've got Silent No More Awareness and other people, women and men, who are speaking out, saying how abortion hurt them. And as a matter of fact, Silent No More has the shockwaves of abortion.
Right.
And that's 12 different areas that are impacted with this abortion issue. Of course, the baby, the mother, the father, the family, the grandparents, the abortionists themselves, and then you move on out into economy. Think about this. Social Security is suffering, but you had 60 million babies legally on paper aborted since Roe v. Wade passed in 73. Multiply that just by, you know, just put each one had a child. That's 120 million people who were never there to pay into Social Security. So is there any wonder that our economy is suffering?
Well, and this is the thing, when these so-called executives signed this letter, a statement saying that the abortion bans are bad for business, I'm like, well, wait a minute. How is you know, supporting abortion, which kills off future clientele, how is that good for business? I mean, usually more people means you have a bigger audience into which to sell, you know, your product or your services. And then the thing that really got me, Dr. King, as a new feminist, I consider myself a feminist, but a new feminist according to the teachings of my faith and yes, exactly, right. How is it that equality is related with a woman's ability to pit herself against her child? Now, this is what these executives said, that equality in the workforce is affected when we have these abortion bans. So why aren't these CEOs, why aren't these women screaming that, wait a minute, why aren't men pitted against that, you know, put in that position to choose against having a child or not in order to advance their career? Why isn't there a cancer-causing birth control pill for men? This, to me, is so sexist, and these executives are acting like they're doing such great things for women, and women are drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, emotional responses is what we're getting, but it was amazing to me when I think it was Jane Fonda, and she said she's going to stop having sex. That part of her life is over. And the other lady, the actress, the younger one, she said,
Melissa Milano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our point was, yeah, boycott sex. If you're not married and ready to have a baby, don't have sex. Good point. Mm-hmm. And then the Hollywood folks, they're saying they're going to boycott Georgia, for example, because of the heartbeat bill. And my point was this. Go ahead and boycott, because we're tired of seeing your smut anyway. We'll just do some good movies in Georgia. So boycott, you know.
And yeah, so good films. Family films. Yeah. Ethical films.
Yeah,
moral
films. It's a good industry, and Georgia likes to do movies. So we'll just do family films that affirm life in Georgia. How about that?
Amen, sister. All right, let me open up the phone lines if anyone has a question for our guest, Dr. Alveda King, the Minority Outreach Director for Priests for Life, noted author, evangelist, and speaker, joining us this morning to talk about how we're being labeled racist because we're pro-life. Another case of denial, not being just another river in Egypt, but also major projection. And this is what drives me absolutely nuts. And then I heard a quote from one of the leaders in Boston this week regarding one of the Democrats in Boston talking about how it's not infanticide if we don't want the baby. And I'm like, what?
That's just the craziest logic. Makes no sense. Okay, well, it's not racism if I kill you because I don't like people that look like you, if I don't like you. I mean, come on. That doesn't make sense.
So what do we as Christians, and going into the break, have about 2 minutes left, what do we as pro-life believers, what are some of the best ways you find to respond? Because we can't just, we have to love, we have to forgive, we have to pray and reach out. We want to help women and men who have been touched by abortion heal. We want to save babies. But I think we have to get maybe a little bit more creative in reaching out, because there's so much rage and anger. And I think a lot of that rage and anger is coming from these women and men who are hurt and haven't been healed yet by abortion, and they don't know how else to express themselves. It's got to come out in some way. But what do you think is most effective?
I have a book in my hand by Father Frank Pavone, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. The greatest thing that we can do first is to pray and to confess our own sins and then ask God to have mercy on this nation. And Frederick Douglass said it very well. He said, I prayed very hard for 20 years and on my knees, and nothing happened. But then when I prayed all by feet, it moved. What he means is to act, go to the polls and vote and all of that, and begin to change with direct action, with prayer. So we have to pray and act. Make
Amen.
Sure we vote pro-life.
Amen. We are the Lord's hands and feet. More with Dr. Alveda King when we come back on a Wednesday morning. Phone lines are open if you'd like to speak with her, 877-573-7825. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What is idolatry? Idolatry is the worship of false gods. Paragraph 2112 in the Catholic Catechism tells us that Scripture constantly recalls the rejection of idols such as silver and gold fashioned by men's hands. Such empty idols make those who worship them as empty and dead and lifeless as the idols they create. The one true God, on the other hand, is the living God who gives life and who intervenes in history. Paragraph 2113 warns that man commits idolatry whenever he reveres or worships a creature in place of the Creator, whether it be power, pleasure, ancestors, the state, or money. Jesus Christ warned us that we could not serve both God and mammon. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Love the great work of our dear sister, Alveda King, Dr. Alveda King, Director of Minority Outreach for Priests for Life, priestsforlife.org, and also noted author, evangelist, and speaker. And you were talking about really this, we can never forget, Alveda, you and I chatting during the break, that this is a spiritual battle as well, correct?
It is a spiritual battle, and you can visit me at www.civilrightsfortheunborn.org. I also want you to visit electionprayer.com. And what we're talking about here is with some of these civil rights issues, minority outreach, the civil rights for the baby, regardless to what ethnic group that baby is. That's something we're very concerned about. So when we hear these words, racism or racist and all of that, it's to stir up our emotions. When we hear women's reproductive rights, they're going to try to take away your reproductive rights. Well, ma'am, by the time they get through giving you those shots and pills and all that kind of things to kill your baby and probably hurt your body, they're not after your reproductive rights. They're after your dollars and your emotionalism. And I think that people are missing when they don't hear that.
Absolutely. We have some comments and question from Al, who wrote me. He is listening on Catholic Radio Indy. Al, thanks for your emails. Let me share this with you, Alveda. He says, I love Alveda King and her pro-life ministry. I am a white male. However, everything I've learned about pro-life topics is from women and minorities, such as Alveda King, Gloria Purvis, Reverend Walter Hoy. He said, it's very disheartening to hear pro-lifers call white male politicians that stand for life as sexist. I don't think pro-lifers are doing that. Many pro-life politicians are women, such as the Alabama governor. I think he means just politicians in general. I never hear the other side mention pro-life politicians that are women or minorities. So I'm wondering why, I guess he's wondering why the other side does not mention people like you that are pro-life and women and minorities.
Well, I do want to answer that, but an image came before me as you were saying that. The most current thing is a whole group of white men made a reproductive decision and decided to pass the heartbeat bill. Well, wasn't there a whole room of men, they're all white except one black man, that gave us Roe v. Wade?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't play that thing against one side against the other. And the reason that you don't know how many of us are African-American in this battle, I think the fake news that President Trump talks about doesn't want you to know how many blacks are conservative or pro-life and all of that type of thing. We've got the National Black Pro-Life Coalition that I was one of the founders of it out of Priest for Life in my capacity over here at Civil Rights for the Unborn. We've been around several years now. We've participated in the pro-life freedom rides that Priest for Life sponsored. We have gone to Selma with Catherine Davis and marched for the babies. There's all kind of things that we're doing constantly. Catherine Davis and I, and along with Dean Nelson, are working on something for August, National Day of Mourning, that God blessed Catherine to be inspired to lead several years ago. We're bringing that back. So here at Civil Rights for the Unborn, we are just doing quite a bit, but you don't know there are many, many of us African-American leaders. So look for us. I can't even name all of them. He named
right.
Walter Hoy. I just, Catherine Davis, Day Gardner.
There's
so many
mm-hmm.
of us.
Yeah,
there's
and,
so
oh, my gosh, there's so many. But the thing is they get so attacked. For example, look at Walter Hoy has gone through on the West Coast, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And some of the excitement and the joy that many people feel during these times, and I'm aware of them, and I'm very grateful and honored. But sometimes I tell you, I do what I do. And people say, why don't you post more pictures of yourself doing this? And why don't you talk about your relationship with the president? Man, the backlash, the retaliation. I'm not afraid and I'm not quitting. But sometimes I'm like, wow, let me just sit in the corner and watch it happen, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but then I come out of the corner with my boxing gloves on when I have to. So watch that.
That's what I say. Sometimes we're like Rocky, right? We fall down, but we get up. We're mm-hmm. kind of punch struck. We get in the middle of the ring. We get boom, boom, boom. We go down. We get back up. But, you know, I feel that way, too. I can remember just about a week and a half ago when I was having one of those, you know, oh, my goodness, I just can't take it anymore moments when I heard about this. This effort for, what was it, attorneys general and prosecutors who were going to stand up against these abortion bans because they were unconstitutional and they weren't going to enforce them. And I just had this overwhelming sense of grief and despair. And then right as I was feeling this and praying, I received an email from our secretary at Ave Maria Radio, and a listener had written a letter and thanking me and Al Cresta and EWTN for the work that we do on Catholic radio, encouraging us to continue. And the next morning, the readings that day were all about not giving up. And so I'm like, okay, back up, back in the ring, right?
We encourage each other. I remember a while back, there seemed to be an opportunity, and we could have overturned Roe v. Wade. And we were like, yeah, and we prayed, kind of like David after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and the baby was sick, and he prayed, and then when the baby died, he took a bath and got up and went back. And so I was crying like, God, why didn't you overturn it? He says, you got to take the long road home. The hearts of the people are too hard. So now here we are years later, but the eyes of the people are opening. The hearts of the people, thank God for President Trump. I mean, he's leading this charge. And Vice President Pence supporting that. So, and many members of in governors or in certain states are doing that. So the hearts of the people, we have to keep praying. There I go. I'm picking up that pro-life reflections for every day. And we have to pray. And then, like Douglas says, pray on your knees and then get up and pray with your feet. Go to the
right.
voting booth
right.
and vote
right.
pro-life.
Yeah, we have to pray as if it all depends on us and work. Or no, pray as if it depends on God, work as if it depends on us. I think that's another saying from
mm-hmm.
one
mm-hmm.
of our great saints. So what are you up to next? Where are you going next to speak so we can follow you?
Well, you can check that out. There's a calendar at priestsforlife.org. I think it's on the homepage, and you scroll down and you see all of our associates, and then you click on that, and you can kind of follow and see where I'm going. I just kind of back across the country a little bit. Like I said, I've been to Maryland, just was with the president last night. National Day of Mourning coming up today is Juneteenth, and I want to say that babies need to be free for Juneteenth as well. So I'm just going to be on the battlefield for life. Some new books. Father Frank and I are going to do a book, Abortion in Black and White. I've got a book with Jennifer Howard. We're not colorblind. If you're colorblind, get your glasses on so we can see each other and celebrate each other. So we've got some books. I'm toying with the thought, praying about doing a book about President Trump, and I might actually do that too.
When does a book with Father Frank come out? He hasn't mentioned it to me yet.
Well, we're working on it. It's still in development, so we don't have a release date, but we really are Abortion in Black and White, and it's going to be so timely because we're going to deal with the fact that God loves everybody. It's not a skin color point. And in black and white, that's a baby. And, you know, the ultrasounds that used to be black and white, now they're in color, 3 or 4D. You see it now. But that's really a baby. And so that's kind of, and some of our experiences together, and we've had some adventures, believe it. So we're going to talk from that perspective.
All right, my dear. You have any scheduled media appearances in the near future?
Possibly. I just, when they pop up and when they come up. I do want to take a quick poll. You guys let me look. Father Frank and I are working on the cover for our book, and I told him I wanted to put black and white rabbits on the book. So if anybody can follow us down that path, what do you think if it's got Father Frank and me holding a little gaggle of rabbits and saying life is precious or something? That may be too far-fetched, but let us know what you think about
it. All right,
that.
So we could do that through Facebook. Alveda, give us your website again.
www.priestforlife.org, www.civilrightsfortheunborn.com and .org, electionprayer.com.
All right, my dear. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for your great work, Dr. Alveda King. And she is speaking the truth in love, and she continues to do so every day. And we need to do the same. We need to pray, act, and love. We'll be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently prevailed in a lawsuit filed in an Oklahoma federal court by Raja E. Fatia, a Muslim and a board member of CARE Oklahoma, against Chad and Nicole Neal, the owners of an Oklahoma gun range. Fatia was represented by lawyers from CARE, the ACLU, and a large New York law firm, the usual suspects. The American Freedom Law Center represented the Neals. The controversy arose when in 2015, Fatia entered the Neal's gun range armed with a loaded military-issue handgun strapped to his side, a military-style rifle slung over his shoulder, magazines loaded with approximately 140 rounds of 9mm ammunition, a concealed recording device in his pocket, and a dangerous agenda. To create a controversy with armed individuals at the gun range, hoping that he would not be allowed to fire his weapons so he could file this meritless lawsuit and run to the media with his prearranged Islamophobia narrative, knowing that the liberal media would willingly serve as an echo chamber for his spurious claim of discrimination. CARE's lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice. CARE's extremely reckless and dangerous attempt to set up a lawsuit to make a political point has failed. Apparently, CARE and the ACLU didn't want to put CARE's nefarious ties to terrorism on trial, so they caved in. And in the end, the good guys won yet again. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Heading over to Rome, as we do every Wednesday, Joan Lewis, Joan's Rome, and you see her, of course, on At Home with Jim and Joy. She does beautiful, beautiful stories all about what's happening with the Holy Father. And I loved your Father's Day tribute, by the way. That was really neat.
Well, I just have such a, my dad was one of the most stupendous men I've ever known in my whole life, and just a magnificent father, a family man, and my memories, I was, let's see, 52 when he died, but 52 years and so many memories of when I was a toddler, 3, 4, 5, of wonderful experiences that just stayed with me throughout my entire life and informed a great deal of who I am today. He was a magnificent man.
I didn't realize that your father was also an engineer, because my father was an engineer. What type of engineer was your dad?
He was mechanical and
so was mine. my father was a mechanical engineer. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I loved, he was such a good repairman, which I wrote about too. And and there was, I think I was in my mid 20s before I ever saw a repairman in our home. But I think the only thing my dad couldn't fix, but he never actually had to, was a television. But anything else, he could take a car apart and put it back together, repair any electrical or plumbing or whatever the problem was. And he could also build things. And, it was just fun to be in his workshop and learn the names of tools and why he did something. I was always asking questions. And I know, well, now why are you doing that? But he never tired of if he'd answer the first question, why, that obviously led to a second question. Well, then why are you doing this, you know? And he never really tired of answering. And the nice thing is he always answered what I could understand at whatever age I was. So if I was 4 or if I was 10, you know, he would answer in a little more, a greater fashion, if you will, when I was 10, knowing I could understand. But, yeah, just a great man. And
that was a great shot, too, of you in St. Peter's Square. I love that. It just, and, you know, and it makes you think of, when we talk about Father's Day, I mean, it helps us, hopefully, if we have a good experience, relate to even more closely to God the Father. And sometimes I think that might be an issue for some people if they didn't have really great dads, as we did, if they weren't as blessed, that maybe it's a little bit, I always pray for them, might be a little bit more difficult for them to associate with God the Father, you know.
Well, I, you know, had such a happy, wonderful childhood, terrific parents, my, you know, 3 sister and 2 brothers, and the school year, and then we had this magnificent summer home that I thought everybody had one like us. I mean, it was my grandfather's home, and my grandfather, a well-to-do man, my paternal grandfather, had 27 acres in Michigan, and there were 3 houses on it, and White Ledge was the name. There were postcards made of my grandfather's house, and it was called White Ledge. But I just assumed everybody on earth had their own, you know, multiple bedroom, like 10-bedroom summer home and you know, place on the lake and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was not so much high school, but college is when I became aware. I know this sounds ridiculous, but of course, remember, we also didn't have Twitter, thank God. We didn't have Twitter and all those things then. But college was when I first became aware that not everybody grew up in a beautiful family like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, the word divorce, if it was said in a whisper. And that just was not anything that was certainly very common in generally my mom and dad's friends. Of course, the couples were Catholic like they were. But it just was such an eye-opener to go to college, even though it was a Catholic college, but to discover that there might have been distance between parents and children or between the mother and the father. And oh, my gosh, not everybody grew up like I did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you had a beautiful testimony, and I really enjoyed it, and I enjoy your spots on Jim and Joy, At Home with Jim and Joy. I know that you've been following the statements of the Holy Father, and he had some strong things to say about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit healing division and that, and talking about reconciliation within the church.
Exactly. And the audience today, by the way, I didn't follow that till I got home because I was, as I emailed you earlier, I did something I never do on a work day. I took the morning off, so to speak, to spend with a niece on one of those hop-on, hop-off buses in Rome. I'll talk about that in a minute. But so I just came back and read the, basically the Holy Father's, you know, summary of the general audience. But he was referring to Pentecost and to because he's talking about his focus is on the Acts of the Apostles, which I think is my favorite book of the Bible, and the fire of God's love, the power of his word. And if we would just listen, I think that's the whole thing. If we would just listen more often to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The problem might be, Teresa, that like movies have God, this, you know, tenor voice coming out of the skies and speaking to people and so forth. And that's not exactly what the Holy Father means when, you know, he says, listen to the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one who can guide us and who helps us pray and so forth. But just to listen, because God can talk through people. He can talk through something you read. He can talk through somebody you meet. He can talk in many ways to us, and none of them are words. So we just have to. I think the Holy Spirit is probably the most difficult of the three persons of the Trinity to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just referred a minute ago to God the Father, Father image.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So easy to understand because we've all had a Father. That's how we came to life. And then Son, Jesus, of course, became human, took on flesh, lived among us 2,000 years ago. We read his words and his life every time we open a prayer book or the Bible or go to Mass. So he's easy to understand. And the Spirit, probably because he's more ethereal, I think, is difficult for a lot of people to relate to. And, of course, when I was a child, it was called the Holy Ghost.
Yes, so, I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. The Father, Son, you
on Holy
made
Ghost.
The sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I know those of us who were raised in that, it took quite a few times, maybe even years, I don't know, to change from Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit. So, we're going to have to hope that the Spirit is on all those who gather in October for the Synod.
Yeah.
As you know, on the Amazon, if you've been following that.
We were talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, the Instrumentum Laboris, the working document, and that came out, of course, 2 days ago. So it's just an amazing document. I think it hasn't come out in English yet, and oddly enough. It's come out in Portuguese, Spanish, and Italian, but it hasn't come out in English. And one person surmised that some of the critical points in it already would be more criticized from English language sources. So the Vatican's waiting to release it in English. I, you know, have no idea if that has any truth in reality, but there were some interesting statements in here. And funny, I don't know if you paid any attention to this, but we knew the document was going to come out, of course. But if you recall, on June 4th, Cardinal Walter Kasper, he's the former head of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, for promoting Christian unity. Cardinal Kasper told a German publication on June 4th that if the Amazon bishops propose ordaining viri probati, the married men of proven virtue, if they ask to ordain these men to the priesthood, the Pope would probably accept that in principle. And now his words absolutely went viral. And here's the thing that interested me. The Instrumentum Laborum by June 4th, it was only presented days ago, was surely all written and translated into several languages, so the cardinal had to know what it said. And he seemed to be telling the bishops, so now all you have to do is ask the Pope, he will probably consent, so it's a done deal. But we shall see. I think there's a lot of things in the document that talk about enculturation, celebrating liturgies, and they don't have too many priests to celebrate liturgies, so that is the one big issue of looking at ordaining proven virtue married men who would be older in every case. But interestingly enough, they talk about enculturation, and I've been to so many parts of the world. I have not been to the Amazon. I do not know that part of the world, but the document seems to be saying that we've got to study bringing all the cultural aspects, which include music, which include many, many forms, got to bring those into the document. And there is at one point, I don't have the whole quote I'm looking for it right now. I don't have the whole quote on, but the document speaks of what do I want to say? Father, mother, nature. God, father, yeah, father, mother, creation. And I'm sure that's probably going to make some people kind of question, you know, what the Holy Father is.
Yeah.
Father, mother, creator, sorry. They talk about pantheistic elements of beliefs in this, you know, Synod document, such as, quote, faith in God, the Father, dash, mother, creator.
What?
So, that's paragraph.
You know, we just need overall better catechesis here. There's so little catechesis on why, and I'm coming as a deacon's wife, okay? And why, and they did study,
sure.
You know, whether, they, you know, they looked at the history of the diaconate going way back, and they studied the scriptures and determined that, yes, there may have been deaconesses, but they didn't serve in the same way, so they put that one to bed. And now they're looking at this. Look, we just need a catechesis, a real catechesis on what the church teaches regarding the male priesthood, the diaconate, the fact that we are all equal, we have different roles, male and female, he created them. I mean, they've just put out a great document from the education, you know, office there at the Vatican. Let's just look at what the church has taught, okay? And thinking
well,
that we need to...
Through the CDS,
frustrated.
The Doctrine of the Faith. I mean, listen to this sentence. According to the document, quote, the richness of the flora and fauna of the forest contains real living pharmacopoeias and unexplored genetic principles.
What?
Now, Teresa, if you were just to throw this to me and say, Joan, what does the sentence mean to you, without telling me what document it was in, I would say, Teresa, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think it was the church document, I guess is what I want to say. You know, so, and they speak of the importance of indigenous rituals and ceremonies. They are essential for integral health, because they integrate the different cycles of human life and nature. They create harmony and balance between human beings and the cosmos. They protect life from evils, etc. Now, this I'm reading to you in English. It is a translation, not that I have done, that that somebody else did, because it isn't out yet in English. It'll be a fascinating synod. I know that some people feel that what the Holy Father does want to come from this synod on the Amazon, which is supposed to focus on the scarcity of priests, people who don't have sacraments for months, maybe 6 months on end, because there is no priest who can travel the huge distances.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a pastor, but he has to go to so many other places that they only see him, you know, once every couple months. So I understand the problem there of the lack of personnel. I just don't quite understand how the church wants to correct that problem when you're talking about pharmacopoeia and Lord knows what else.
Who knows? Well, hopefully we will get some answers in October because we know we'll have great reporters like you on the scene. Okay, Joan, thanks. I there's so much I could say about this, but we'll hold off until we have more information.
Yeah.
53 minutes past the hour. We didn't get to talk about the on-off buses, but maybe we can have fun with that next week. It's a great idea. I've always wanted to try that. As many times as I've been to the Eternal City, I see those buses, and I've never tried it, but it looks like a blast. Unfortunately, we're out of time right now. Joan Lewis from EWTN. Joan's Rome, and you see her on At Home with Jim and Joy, where she gives a great report every week on happenings at the Vatican. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up tomorrow on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. It's a Wednesday morning, June 19th. We'll be right back.
The EWTN home video highlight for May is the story of Father John Sullivan. A Protestant born into a life of privilege, he left everything to follow God's call to become a Catholic priest and serve the poor and afflicted. And the faithful were blessed with countless miracles. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or call 1-800-854-6316.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Busy, busy week here. Almost wrapping up a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Don't forget, we archive our shows every day, and you can go to AveMariaRadio.net, the archive section, and you can listen to various segments or pass them along if you want to share something you heard, maybe from Elvita King or Joan Lewis or any of our guests. Again, that's AveMariaRadio.net, and don't forget all of the terrific resources at EWTN.com, and don't forget to watch Lauren Ashburn on EWTN News Nightly and all the other great programs, including Father Mitch Live and all the other stuff that we have that is just so darn good for your Catholic faith, uplifting, strong, and keeping you connected to the Church. We've got a couple of things we're looking at tomorrow, possibly some new polls regarding abortion and what the country says, and we'll keep you posted. Stay tuned. More great programming coming up.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.